Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening. Folks, thank you very, very much for listening. Day today is the 25th of July, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunny Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James, I am in Los Angeles, California. There's going to be a lot of reverberation. I am moving out of my apartment, so there's nothing in here anymore. So the acoustics in here are bad. But what are we doing today?
That hat is bad, too. What is that? It
says, gone fishing. You don't like this hat? Can I tell you something before we jump into what we're going to be doing today?
Sure.
I got this hat at 7-Eleven.
Fitting.
Okay, I was at the checkout, and I was like, I got to have that. But
you know what that hat
problem.
Reminds me of?
What's that?
Have you've seen the Teddy Perkins Atlanta episode? When, yeah. What's the guy's actual name?
Lakeith Stanfield?
Yeah, when he buys the just the hat off at the counter.
Oh.
And uses permanent marker.
Yeah. I have a new problem, though, whenever I wear hats, okay? If I'm walking into a room and there are people that I know in that room, my problem is I keep looking like I just got drafted. Because I always do I walk into the room and I pull the hat down, stuff like that. Like, oh, what's going on, everybody? You know what I'm talking about? You pull the brim down, like, oh, it's just old Nick. I always do that. That's my new biggest problem. Okay. What are we going to be doing today, James?
Well, there will be nothing to talk. There's nothing to talk about for the next few months. It's the ultimate dead period of the NBA calendar, which is usually always filled. So today, we are recording this on Sunday, and we're dropping on we're going back to a Monday. We're dropping this on Monday. If you're listening to this, hopefully it's Monday. We're both ranking our top 10 Pistons jerseys of all time. And if you're wondering why we're doing this today, all I will say is you will understand very, very soon.
On like Wednesday, you'll be like, oh, okay, now I get why they did that.
That's all I'll say. So, yeah, I thought it'd be fun to rank our top 10 Pistons jerseys of all time.
Cool.
Obviously, it's a divisive. This fan base is very divisive when it comes to jersey. I think 35 and under has a much different appreciation for certain jerseys than the 36 and up.
Yeah.
I think my list obviously reflects me being under the age of 35. So
I gave my list a once over twice. Like a confirmation,
so a twice
like
over?
A twice over, because of exactly what you just said, where I'm like, this is going to be a bad list to most people because it's so subjective to the person that you're asking. So, yeah.
And it might be bad for a podcast because jerseys are visual. So I'll try to describe the years and the eras as best as possible on mine so that you can go Google them.
I think all 10 of mine, people will be like, oh, I know what he's talking about.
I think the majority of mine too. Yeah, but there's a couple. There's one that I'd never seen before. That's pretty high on my list.
We're starting from 10, right?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, number 10.
If you have the sleeved jerseys on here, because I can see you doing that, you'll no longer be on the podcast.
Okay, great news. I'm very happy you said that because once we got around to like 6 or 7, I was going to throw in there, hey, this is where sleeve jersey territory was kind of starting to get. I'm just going to let you know now. I'm going to spoil it. No sleeve jerseys.
All right, good. No chrome either?
I kept them off. Oh, come on.
All right, just checking. All right, go ahead.
I'm a man of culture. number 10, he says, as this is his number 10 jersey of all time, the 2018-2019 black uniforms.
Oh, with the gray stripe down the middle.
Yep, the Blake ones. Blake was too good. Another Blake Griffin shout out in another episode of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I think they're too fire. My brother tends to think that too many teams have black alternates when it's like when black hasn't actually been ingrained in that team's color scheme, and like you're just giving them a black uniform just because it looks cool, and it always looks cool. And like you can make the case that it doesn't make sense for Detroit, but it does make sense for Detroit because of all the bad boy stuff. So I've always loved them.
Yeah, and I don't think people know. I mean, I imagine most people know. First, while we're talking about, while we're on history, shout out to Keith Black Trudeau, who we've had on the pod, Ultimate Pistons Historian. He has a new podcast, which is basically Pistons Historian podcast. So go check that out. I forget the name of it, but Keith Black Trudeau. You can follow him on Twitter if you don't. If you're listening to this pod, you probably follow Keith. So check out his pod. I actually don't have that jersey on here. I didn't hate it. But to go back to what I was going to say, I don't think people understand the relationship between the Bad Boys and the Raiders at the time, and I think that was the black and gray was a play on that.
Right.
I don't have those jerseys on here, but those weren't terrible jerseys.
It's 10, you know, so it's like I'm not that attached to it. What's your number 10?
The red jerseys from the Grant Hill era. I want to say 95, blue Pistons lettering.
Okay.
Red jersey, blue on the stripes. Yeah, Grant. I don't know if they only played in those for a year. I know in 1995 they wore that jersey. So, the red jersey during the Grant Hill era.
Okay, number 9. We're going deep cut.
I think we might have the same one.
The Zollner Piston home uniforms, the ones that literally said Zollner Pistons on them when we were in like Fort Wayne. Okay. George Yard, when people were factory workers. And like milkman. that was literally like their union job was as a factory worker, and then they also were allowed to play basketball.
Yeah,
and
during their lunch breaks.
Those were fire uniforms.
Okay, I don't hate them. Not on my list.
Valid, only valid.
Number 9 for me: the white jersey with the bolt.
Yeah.
Introduced in 1980, the team wore them in 2005 for Hardwood during the Hardwood Classics year. I think they wore it. I don't know if it was just one game or they wore it at different times throughout that year, but there is like a Chauncey has worn this jersey, all white. I think it says Pistons in bluish red lettering with the bolt underneath.
Yep.
I'd say most of our audience probably knows that from the 2005 year more so than when they were introduced in 1980. So that's my number 9.
Do I call an audible or do I just read the list?
No, you had enough time to lock it in. I told you this days ago.
You're right. I had about 3 days.
Yeah.
I had about 3 days. You're right. We even talked about it this morning. The audible was going to be exactly what you just said, and I was going to have that as my number 7. And I was going to kick what I'm about to say off.
Wait, we're at number 8 now.
Okay. This is number 7 for me because I went first. So that was 8 for you.
No,
this
that
is
was
now
9
7.
For me.
How was that 9 for you?
You did 10. I did 10. You did 9.
Oh,
I
forgot
9.
That 10 counts as like a – you're right. You're right. So this is 8 still. Yeah. You're right. All right, what I wrote was the 2019-2020 red with blue stripe. Those reds, the Derrick Rose reds.
I have those on here.
Okay, so it's not insane. I just love them. It was also the first time that we had had red back since like Chauncey, and you know, so it had been like what 15 years, and so it was a big like, oh, they're not giving us teal, but they're giving us red, and this is a step in the right direction. So maybe is it more symbolic, and that's why I like it a little bit more. Maybe, but I also think that they're just really nice uniforms.
I thought they were fire when I saw them. I remember when the picture first came out. I didn't love them, but when you saw it in person, it popped. So I remember like the first game they wore them and like seeing them, they popped. I like that jersey. It's on my list. It's higher than obviously where you have it.
Cool. What do you got at 8 then?
Number 8. This is the team's first ever red jersey. 1974, I think, to 1978. They wore them in that range. They had really cool shorts with like white and blue rectangular diagonal stripes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the team's first red jersey. As you can tell, I'm a fan of colors. And this is already my second or third red jersey. Oh, second red jersey, and we've only done 3. So, during the information accumulation for this pod and this list, this is actually the first time I've seen them. I thought they were pretty cool. I didn't know that they wore red prior to Grant. I had no idea. I'm not a Pistons historian. So I like those a lot.
So my list is about to get really annoying.
This is where mine gets good, and this is where people will. I think so far we've been safe. Like 10 through 8 yes. is fine. But this is where people start having issues.
Number 7, the Chauncey era red.
Okay.
That's just, I grew up with it. That's one of the first alternate, like when I think about growing up and like alternate uniforms in Detroit, I think red Pistons and black Lions. Those are the that's two fair. Things that I think yeah. of. So that's
show,
always going to.
Did I show you my black Calvin jersey that I got on eBay a few weeks ago?
No.
Yeah, it's fire. I'll show
nice.
You.
Nice.
That's fair. Actually, yeah, funny story.
Those are the ones I grew up with, so they're always going to mean the most to me.
The only Pistons jersey I ever owned as a kid was a red rip one.
Wow.
I was a jersey collector. Obviously, we've told the story many times. I had to talk about it last week. Clippers fan. But I saw those red Pistons jerseys. I was like, I need to get one. And I had a rip one.
You had a red Livingston one, right?
I do. I still do. Yeah. Mm. I was. All right. I want to give myself a shout out for getting a massively oversized Sean Livingston jersey at the age of 12 to the point that it fits me perfectly now. Like, that was some next level. Like, that jersey should. I got it when I was 12.
Yeah.
It should not fit me at 18 years later.
You're right.
But
you're
it fits me better. So I'm very happy that I made that decision to get a massive one.
Good stuff.
Number 7 is one that you already said. And I kind of wish I flipped 7 and 6 here. But I can't because we locked it in.
Yep. No. Yep.
It's the Red City Edition with the blue racing stripe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have that at 7.
So, yeah. A little bit higher up, so you did like. I was a little bit worried about that. I thought I was going to get some pushback being too
modern. The jersey, it was different. It was the first time in a while they did something like different that was good. I like the blue racing stripe touch, red pops. I like the blue. It wasn't like navy blue. It was more like a closer to a royal blue.
Yeah,
I thought that was one of their like that was trending in the right direction of like innovative, good Pistons alternate jerseys because it had been pretty bad for a while.
You know what wasn't bad coming in at number 6 was the Grant Hill horse era red.
The burgundy.
That we wore. Yeah, the burgundy. Mm-hmm. That's number 6. I don't even need to say anymore. That's number 6.
Interesting. Number 6.
You have it higher? You have it higher?
Number 6 for me, and I wish I actually, now that I think about it, I wish this was 7 and the racing stripe, the red and blue racing stripe was 6. I like the racing stripe ones that I just mentioned more than my number 6, which is the red alternates that you talked about. I like the touch of the racing stripe.
Hmm.
Looking back at the going to work era red, it was post going to work era, but those guys, they were cool, but it was just a red jersey.
Set can Pistons. I, we're at the halfway point right now. We're about to do number 5. Can I give you one that if I was really trying to go down the sicko route, I would have done this at number 9, but I did not.
Instead, you did it at 5?
No. It's not on the list
at all. So honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Go ahead.
Was the Detroit Mission, Detroit Michigan City Edition.
I thought about it. Let me tell you why my honorable mention. Go ahead. Tell me why you like that jersey. I'll tell you why I like that jersey.
Look, we've talked about it on the show, I feel like, a handful of times, that you and I both, we think that, you know, writing the name of the city and Detroit, Michigan, it's very unique. And to me, I think people always got caught up in the, oh, well, you're just copying, what is it, Denver?
You look
copying,
like Denver's,
copying
yeah.
Indiana. And it's like, yeah, because those are fire. Like, yeah. fire. Just because you're copying doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I liked them.
I'm glad you remember that. I thought, looking back, like, I'm picturing it in my head now, like, that jersey, like, it was fine. I think honorable mention is a good place for it. But yeah, I think what sold me, I've never seen, and maybe I'm wrong and I can't think, but I've never seen the city and the state on a jersey. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
I think some of it, we gas it up because of how much people hated it. So there's a sort of an uneven balance of like, no, these are fire. They're not. They're just okay, but they're not awful.
Yeah, they're fine. They're not awful. They're not great. Yeah.
Right. And that's it.
You're 5.
Yep, number 5. Current era red. Current, like, lightning bolt on the side with the teal hit, the ones that we
pulled
out last year.
The Red City editions.
Yep, the new Red City editions.
75th anniversary. Well, you know, I wouldn't call them new. They're done now.
Well, they're done now, but yeah.
1 year.
I would go with
you
those.
You had that at five?
At five. Love those.
I do too.
Oh, okay. You just love them a little more. Yeah. Huh? Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, I'm shocked that you had that low.
I got something on this. I got something in this top five that is gonna ruffle some feathers.
This is a shot. People are probably disgusted by this list.
What do you got at number five?
The 1978-81 blue jerseys with the Bolt. It says Detroit has a Bolt under it.
Yep.
Just very clean. Obviously iconic. I think they're even in 2K. I think those blue Detroit ones with the Bolt under are in 2K. They used to be. Maybe. Everybody knows those jerseys, I think. Fire.
I tell you what, you're getting that's my number four. So you can just go. Yeah, that's my number four. Okay. So you can go ahead.
Number four for me is one I had never seen until doing research for this. 1962, I believe, to 69. A white jersey says Pistons in cursive blue.
In cursive, yeah.
Very just clean, but still has some like pizzazz with the Pistons and in cursive with blue. It was very clean. Like, I'd like to see them bring those back. Those were pretty fire.
I always liked those because they remind me of like when the Royals were a thing.
Yeah. Like, you're talking about the Kansas City Royals?
I'm talking about like Oscar Robertson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
These were clean.
All right.
I liked them. I hadn't seen them before.
This is a good pick. That's a really good pick.
Thank you.
Number three. This is it, okay?
Yep.
My third favorite Pistons uniform of all time. It's the Summer League Blues. The Summer League away uniform.
Those look like
Blues.
The Jazz jerseys.
Love them. That is it is one of the best blue uniforms that the Pistons, I think this whole minimalist approach that designers are taking to like with the Cavs and the Jazz, I think it's boring and annoying. But I say that just to say that I love the deepness, the royalness of the blue. I wish there was maybe a little something else going on with it. But as somebody who has historically hated the Pistons road uniforms like literally my entire life, I love those. Because
Hold on. I have questions. Actually, no, okay. I have statements.
This is what this was for. I knew this was going to be bad. It's okay.
Not only do you have their Summer League jersey as
which
number three.
Which is basically
three,
a practice jersey.
Which
yeah.
is basically a practice jersey at number three.
Yeah.
You like those more. And I don't care for the road ones. They're fine. They are what they are. But those are at least have like different cut. Those are like better than the Summer League jerseys.
Are they?
What do you like?
But it's the
same blue. It just looks like an actual jersey.
I just like how it's only blue and white. I don't like how blue and red looks when it's the away uniforms.
Okay.
It's like, you know, here's the thing, though. It's been tough being a Michigan State fan my whole life. I hate green.
Do you really?
I don't like wearing green.
What's your favorite? What are your top three favorite colors?
University blue is my favorite color.
Like Carolina?
We're aligned in that way. We both really like that.
Yeah.
Anything pastel, and it's really going to change on my mood and on the day beyond that. But university blue through and through is my favorite color.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Number three for me has already been said. It's the burgundy Grant Hill era.
Right.
Teals.
Right.
Era jerseys.
Okay. Now, these next two, this is where it gets boring, right? I feel like the real meat and potatoes was like 6 through 3. Because we went safe, and then the end is like, well, what are you going to do?
I think number one will surprise people. They follow me on Twitter.
Number two, the white teals. So not the teals, but the white ones.
Those didn't make my list.
I think those might be, I say they might be the best uniforms of all time, and they're not number one, so clearly there's one that's better. But no, if there was, like, if I could get a Cade, I think it's mainly the shorts that I like so much with those.
That's fair.
I just think those shorts would go with absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Imagine a Sadiq Bey 41 white teal.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean,
that'd be great. What do you got?
You might not need to imagine it. Number two for me is the teal. I think I've talked about it ad nauseum. The creativeness of the 90s with the cartoon-esque characters, the obscurity and the color. I love the shorts. I love the color. I love that color of teal. Like, I love that color. I don't know what it is. I think most people in my age bracket would agree. We grew up in the 90s with the Panthers and the San Jose Sharks biting the stick and other
the Anaheim
sports.
Ducks were, yeah, there was like, the they had like Ducks. The teal and like purplish kind of a thing.
You mean know? This?
James is pulling something out. This is not a visual podcast. Oh, while James is gone and getting something, what's he showing me right now? I have to do this for you guys. James is standing up. He's showing me. Oh, he's got a sweater. Oh, he's got a Duck sweater. Okay, yeah, that's hard. Ooh, that's real nice. Yeah, he's got an old Duck sweater with the. He's wearing the Jason Voorhees mask and the two hockey sticks. All right, everybody, James is back.
What's up?
Yeah, that was hard.
I got that yesterday.
Nice. Good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, the teals. Teal. Iconic for depending on who you ask, it's divisive. I think it's beautiful. I think it's well done. I think it pops. I love it. Introduced the best logo in the team's history, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I know there are a lot of people who are all about tradition and minimalism. That was the best logo. It looked the best on uniform, and it just popped. The teal is number two for me.
I tell you what. Since I'm just hashing out bad takes in this episode, why don't I treat you to another one?
Please. I'm hungry.
The current logo.
It's boring.
Best one they've ever had. Best one they've ever had. Love it. Everybody hates it. There is not a logo in sports. And this is going to be a bad take. I hate the 2004 logo.
I don't hate that take.
Hate it. Well, no, because I forgot, in 2004, they were also still kind of using the horse a little bit. So I guess I'm mainly thinking of, like, 2009 to, like, to whenever they did the rebrand now. So there was, like, a six-year period that they had the logo, and I hated that. And then when they sort of revamped the old, like, Bad Boys Detroit Pistons basketball, whatever it is, I love that. I love how simple it is. But the teal horse is the best.
I've argued with Vinny Goodwill, friend of the show, many times about this. I personally don't like any of the Pistons logos except the horse one.
Yeah.
But I also like that goes to what, as you could tell from my list, and you could tell from just the type of person I am. Like, I like more cartoony. Like the Miami Heat one. Fire logo. Flaming basketball through a hoop. I hate the Lakers logo. It just says Lakers with a basketball. Pistons just says Detroit Pistons. And reason that they have that logo and have kept it and have made it their brand is because they see themselves as a legacy franchise, as they should. They've won three titles. Not many franchises have won that many titles. There's only about a handful. So you understand why they lean so heavily into just the Detroit Pistons with the ball. Yeah. But to me, it's boring. Before we get to our number ones, what's your did you already do your number one?
No, I've not done that yet.
What's your favorite?
People know what it is, but yeah.
What's your favorite logo in NBA history? I think the Red Wings have the best logo.
Well, you said in NBA history.
Yeah, but I'm saying in general, the Red Wings have the best logo. You could do your favorite logo of all time and then your favorite NBA logo.
The old Bucks with Bango was great.
Like the Ray Allen era?
Yeah, no, not even that. Even earlier than that. Like Lou Alcindor. Like, I love when it was just like the buck as the logo.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Yeah,
I'd have to. The Nuggets have had some really good ones.
I like the one with the skyline.
Yep, for sure. The Cavs have even had some pretty good ones in like the Mark Price days. Like, they did have some pretty good logos. The Mavs have had some really good ones.
I love the M with the Stetson, like early Dirk.
Yep. Do I cop out? Do I just say Seattle?
It's a good one.
It's the easiest one, right? But not Gary Payton Seattle, like KD Seattle. Like end of supersonic Seattle.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't like the red. I don't like the red.
I'm not mad at that. With the green and the yellow.
I don't like it. It looks sick on my hat, but yeah. I'm probably going to go with Seattle there. Okay. To get us back on track. But I will say that the Red Wings are... Hey, what's going on? People told us that Juan Soto's not coming to Detroit because Chris Illich is bad at his job. Thoughts?
Yeah, we know that.
Well, right, but thoughts?
Not surprised.
Okay.
That's why I'm not watching. Really quick, my favorite logo might be Raptors with the Raptor.
Another, that's, I think that would be up there with the Supersonics one, right?
Yeah, just classic.
Just in terms of like, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Has your number one been said at all? Like, have I listed your number one?
Probably. I think you did.
I don't remember. Go ahead. What's your number one of all time? But
it's just the teal. Just the regular.
Oh.
I haven't done it yet.
What was your number two?
The white teal.
Oh, the white teal. Regular
teal. The white teal. So I'm going teal. Yeah, and I don't need to explain it because, yeah, it's free. What's yours, though?
The Red City Editions from last year.
Wow.
I think that is the best jersey.
Wow.
I think that is and you know how much I love the teals.
Yeah.
When I saw those remix jerseys, is kind of what they're called, this remix city edition that features all, obviously has the teal outline on the bolt on the shorts.
Yeah.
Hard. Like, imagine them wearing that jersey in the Eastern Conference Finals and everybody at LCA is wearing a red shirt. You know how hard it would be to play there? That would look hard. But this is why I like the jersey. Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
Red pops automatically. Color, bright, pops. But then it says Detroit in blue with the teal outline. Like, you would never think that red, navyish blue and teal would look good together, but it's the subtle teal that, like, makes it pop. It's a beautiful, beautiful jersey. It really is. I as somebody who has to watch them every single day, I'm kind of sad that those jerseys will never be worn again.
One of the best notes that you ever gave in your time on the beat was when you were like, Cade Cunningham has worn four different uniforms in each of his first four career games with the Detroit Pistons. It's one of my favorite things.
Shout out to Austin Drake. Friend of the show.
Okay, controversial lists, I don't think so, but maybe a few in there that people are going to be like, really? Like the Summer League jersey, people are going to be like, really? You saying that's number one, people are going to be like, really? But I don't think anything was objectively wrong.
I think there are going to be people like offended that we didn't even name like the traditional Homer aways.
Because they're not good.
Probably. And we didn't name like any Bad Boy era jerseys. People are going to be offended. But we're also 30 and under.
That's probably the easiest thing that we should write on there. I shouldn't be antagonistic and be like, well, maybe those jerseys weren't very good. Because it's like, yeah, I just wasn't alive for it.
We're 30. Go through your 10 real quick. Just like, you know, and so people, if they want to go look them up, they can.
Sure. Somebody had a fun little question for us over email that I wanted to read. I thought you might appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do that after.
So number 10, 1819 black. Number 9, the Zollner Piston white. Number 7, the 1920 red with the blue racing stripe. Number 7, Chauncey era red. Number 6, horse era red. Number 5, the aforementioned.
His horse era red, he means burgundy.
Sorry, yes. Number 5 was the 75th anniversary red. Number 4, lightning bolt blue Detroit logo, the one that James had it. I don't remember how you described it. But 7, Summer League. I'm sorry. Number 3, how was I doing this? I don't remember. Number 3 was the Summer League blues. Number 2 was the white teals. And number 1 was the teal teals.
And for me, number 10, the red jersey from the Grant Hill era, 1995. You can Google that. Number 9, the white jersey with the bolt introduced in 1980, brought it back in 2005. Number 8, 1974, 1978-ish, team's first ever red jersey. Number 7, 2019 Red City editions with the blue racing stripe. Number 6, the Chauncey Rip Tayshaun era red alternates. Number 5, the 1978-81 blue jersey with the bolt under Detroit. Number 4, 1962 to 1969-ish white jersey with pistons in cursive in blue. Beautiful jersey. Number 3, the burgundy jersey from the Grant Hill era, Mateen Cleaves era. Number 2 is the teal jersey. I was going to say something that I shouldn't have said. And number 1 is last year's Red City Edition remix jersey. Just moi. Whoever designed that jersey, I wonder if I know them. I hope they got a raise.
Shout out to Big Sean.
That is one of the firest jerseys of all time.
We actually should be thanking Big Sean this year, right?
I don't want to say anything that's like mean. Listen. I wrote a oral history of the Teals in 2019, how they came about, the origin of them, all that stuff. Jerseys take a few years. You have to go through a process. This was in the works before Big Sean. Everyone knows the Teals are coming back eventually. So, yes, this is in the work. That was in the works before Big Sean.
Let me do a quick, let's test my friendship to you.
Yeah.
I have to try to remember the name of the jersey that you found for a guy who never wore the Teals. I have to try to remember that guy's name.
That was such a fire story that I stumbled into.
So the only thing I'm going to ask is you give me the first initial to his last name.
A.
And while I think about it, you can tell this story to people who might not know.
Yeah, so I want to say, what year was Andre Drummond's last year? Was that 2020? 19?
That was 19.
So that year, I want to say in the fall, the Pistons equipment manager, Kong, John, I can never say his actual last name, Kong, opened up the vault of Pistons' old, worn gear.
Yeah.
And so he had boxes and boxes and boxes of every era stuff that was worn. It was pretty much bigger, too big for everybody there, unless you were able to get, like, point guard stuff or... Like, there was a Darko warm-up, like, that he actually wore, and there was a I got Chris Burke, our former Lions writer, an athletic draft writer, a Vaughn, or Loy Vaught Pistons jersey. I think Loy Vaught played at Michigan, game worn. So, yeah, that's the type of stuff that was in these boxes. So, one day, it was going to be open to the public that night. There was a game that night. And all that stuff was going to be out there, but there was shoot around in the morning. So after shoot around, the players and the media, we got to go look through this stuff first and get anything we might want. And I had family and friends hit me up like, hey, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Can you get me this? Can you get me that? Everything was $10. Everything. So if you stumbled into game worn Grant Hill shorts, $10. Everything was $10. And so I'm rummaging through stuff, looking through a box of teal jerseys, and I found. Do you want me to just tell the story? Do you want to guess?
I can't remember the name. I keep wanting to say Clay Aiken. That's not him.
Close. Well, people are going to know why that's funny as I tell the story. So I'm rummaging through. You're going to laugh once you find out who it is.
Okay.
And why? And you? Why are you saying Clay Aiken's funny? I shouldn't say funny, but ironic. I'm rummaging through a box and I find a jersey that says Amiki on the back. Amiki. And in my mind, I'm reading it as Amici, like John Amici, the NBA player. If you're not familiar with John Amici, the reason you may be familiar with his name, he played in the late 90s, early 2000s. He was the first NBA player to come out as gay, which why you saying Clay Aiken, the irony in that.
Right.
So I'm reading it as Amici. I'm just thinking that's how his last name is spelled, and like that's just in my mind, like the A-M-A-C-H or A-M-A-C, like I'm just thinking Amici, but I realized as I'm reading it, it says A-M-A-E-C-K-I, Amici. I'm like, I was like, I know of John Amici, but he, one, never played for the Pistons, and two, I don't know who Amici is. Like, maybe I, there's just somebody I had never heard of.
Yeah.
So long story short, I ask Kong, I ask people in the organization who have been there for many years. I'm like, who's Amici? Who's Amici? And they're like, I don't know. And then there was somebody who was like, I'm pretty sure he was like a training camp guy that maybe only played in the preseason. And I did my Googles, like, for one day, I like spent hours like, who the hell is Amici? Like, maybe like, yeah, summer league guy or a training camp guy or a foreign guy. Couldn't find anything. So I'm like, this has to be a John Amici jersey, just spelled wrong.
Yeah.
But I was like, he never played for the Pistons. So I ended up doing more research, and it turned into a story. You can Google the mysterious Pistons jersey on Google The Athletic, and the story will come up, where I spent a week trying to figure out why there's a John Amici, supposed to be John Amici, Pistons jersey made up. Moral of the story, you should still read the story because it ties into Grant Hill and Ben Wallace in the trade. Long story short, either Amici was going to sign with the Pistons, or he was going to be part, instead of Ben, be part of the Orlando-Detroit trade. And they had a jersey mocked up, and they spelled it wrong. And the story ran, and then John got back to me on Twitter after it ran. I couldn't get to him before the story. He said he would often get, like, his name misspelled on jerseys. Like, it was yeah. So go check that. If you haven't read that thing, I wrote in, like, 2019-20, the Mysterious Pistons jersey, The Athletic.
It's almost like having a Hawks Carmelo jersey. It's kind of like what essentially. It's also,
and there's a rumor out there. There's a rumor out there that somebody owns. Everybody knows the story of how Kobe was almost a Piston, right? Like that's a people know that, right?
Yeah.
There is a rumor out there. May or may not be a rumor. May or might not just be true. Somebody owns the mocked up Kobe Bryant Pistons jersey that they thought the deal was going to get through, and they mocked up a jersey, and somebody owns it. Can't say who, won't say who. I have never seen the jersey, but I know somebody has it.
That's insane. Do you know, it would have been 24, right?
That I don't know. That I actually don't know.
It would be cooler if it was 8, right? That would look cooler.
I agree, but I'm trying to think, do the Pistons have 8 retired? They got every other number retired.
Here we go with this again. For people who, if you don't know who Kong is the one who was like peanut butter and jelly, and Cade was like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
That was Kong.
He does. So I wrote a story on Kong and what it takes. Like, I followed him along on a week-long road trip. Like, yeah, the equipment manager's put in a lot of work. Shout out to Kong.
That dude is a machine.
Yeah.
High up on the list of people that we should get on the show, I think Jordan's probably still, I almost said public enemy number one, the opposite of public enemy number one, target number one.
Yeah, we have a... There's a good list of behind-the-scenes people we should get. We got time now.
Do people know... We should get... Who's the best behind-the-scenes guy? What's his name? Troy Weaver. We should get him on the show. Do people know about him? I have a question from a lovely emailer. Now, I will say this.
Say the email again so people... Oh, I have to address the Twitter thing, too.
Bun and Cardigan. Like A-N-D, not the ampersand.
Yeah.
Bun and Cardigan at Gmail. I will say... last week I was reading people's names because I don't know. I was just like, people probably want to, you know, like, hey, it's me reading the email. Like, you know, say their name. I think it's because we also had some people be like, hey, if you do read this email, leave my name out of it. I think I'm just not going to say names. Not going to say names anymore just because I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. So we're just going to read what you guys say.
Or if you want your name said, or if you don't, just tell us if you don't want your name said.
I'm just not going to say
it. Because some people
it's
like
just easier. No, I know, 100%. But hey, guys, what kind of equipment do you guys use to make beats? And any tips that you have for someone looking to get started? Also, James, I saw the Tottenham shout out in the shoe video. My only question is, why would you do that to yourself? Thanks. Also, his email signature is super based. It's about Edward Snowden. It's super based.
I don't know either of those things. So for making beats, I used Logic Pro X, and I had like an Akai keyboard that I would use. Now I just kind of use my keyboard on my laptop. I do a lot of sampling, so it's not like I'm not beating. It's a lot of like looping and slowing down and stuff like that. And so I use Logic. And then I'm a Tottenham fan because where I grew up, there, I was friends with a lot of Mexicans. And Giovanni Dos Santos, if you're a soccer fan and you remember Giovanni Dos Santos, obviously a big name for the Mexican national team. When he went to the Premier League, he played for Tottenham. And I love Giovanni Dos Santos, so I kind of followed him there. Clint Dempsey was there around that time. So, yeah. And I followed them. That's been my club ever since. So since about like 08.
When I was growing up, I was maybe in like high school, maybe late middle school or something. And I would wake up early to watch Chelsea play Premier League games, because whenever I would play FIFA, I liked the blue team. And so Chelsea was the blue team. And so I was a big Chelsea fan. And then I grew up and it was like when David Luiz was there. It was a little bit before that. Another question. I like this one.
What do you use to make beats? You don't need an answer.
I just use GarageBand. I've used GarageBand for like 8 years. Became proficient in it, basically. Yeah, do I have any tips for people looking to get started?
Listen to a lot of old music. I love sample-based beats, so listen to a lot of old music. Try to look something up.
I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to know, obviously, having any inclination as to what music theory is would help, and your understanding of actual structure and composition and how notes work would absolutely help, and it's going to make your experience so much easier. But you don't need to know all that stuff. Sometimes it is just as easy as like, and it takes time, and there's like a, you know, there's just a craft to it, but it. Yeah. Does it sound good? Yeah. It might be like, you know, mixing and stuff like that is its own beast. And there's a lot of stuff you got to figure out, but like, don't get stressed out about not knowing about this is like a 1/8 E flat. Like, don't worry about
most
that.
Most of my loops are offbeat. My drums are like a half schmidge. I just like it raw and dirty like that. Yeah.
A little bit. I was going to say more raw, a little bit.
Yeah.
Dude, we had an all time pause moment.
Yeah. Let me read it. Texting yesterday prior to the pod, trying to get it
set
up.
I went to see Marcel the Shell with Shoes On again in theaters.
Yeah, he's a sicko.
And I sent... Go ahead.
Let's find it. Yeah, you sent me a video of you in the theater like it's 2004 and it's a LimeWire.
Not pirating.
I see the back of somebody's head like I'm sitting here trying to watch the whole movie. And, all right, so this is... I'll start here. I'll start right after you sent me the video. I said, you're the only one in there, aren't you? Your reply. There were like six other people. I said, children. Two children, you said. I said, what's the appeal of this movie? Just makes you smile and feel great and fantastic. I said, okay, I respect that. You were pitching it as some great cinema. You said, ... Well, also that.
It is.
I said, I just don't believe it. He said, check the reviews. I'm telling you, 100. I said, the reviews are done by Nick Jr. He said, I would bet anything in the world that you'd love this movie. I said, I have a black heart. And here we go. Nick's response. It'll penetrate you, I promise.
But then I said, what? And then I said, whoa.
You said, holy. Pause? I said, whoa. Relax, fam. Wow. So, yeah.
You knew what I meant.
No, I knew what I meant.
Is there another email?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I like this one. We're going to water it down a little bit just in the interest of time, but we still appreciate it, and I think it's interesting. Hey, guys, I'm out here in Seattle, MSU grad. Go K9.
Are all these emails like fairly recent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This one was sent to us the day after last week's pod came out, so it was on like Wednesday, I think is when it was. Hey guys, I'm out here in Seattle, MSU grad, go K9 on the Hawks. Shout out to Kenneth Walker. I actually don't think he's going to do anything for Seattle though.
K9. I was thinking Kenneth go Walker. K9s like the dog, like a team. Okay, go ahead.
No, he's just a Seahawks fan who's really amped because they drafted his, which by the way, I still don't understand how he didn't get a Heisman invitation.
Yeah, that's sick.
But anyways, essentially what the question boils down to is it's about expansion. So when the league expands, which players do you think end up where? Do you think this does anything as far as sort of, I think what he's asking is it going to spread out talent so there's more of a sort of even playing field? And kind of how I want to rework this question, again, just in the interest of time, is like, if you had to guess...
We should play that next week. The Pistons can only keep three guys. There's an expansion draft, and they can only keep three guys.
We can do something like that. My question here, though, is let's try to predict who's like the most high-level player that won't be protected and could get drafted. Can I give, off the top of my head, you know who I think might not get protected?
Yeah, go ahead. I have an answer, too.
If I'm Minnesota, I'm not protecting D'Lo.
I think there's one higher than that, but I agree.
You think so? I think if somebody wants to take him and take his money, I think they're just going to be like, yeah, go ahead. If that's how you want to start a franchise.
Three, if you can only protect three, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they, because you have to do Anthony Edwards. That has to be your third.
Well, I wanted to say I think Anthony would be first, to be honest. But I was going to say the Wizards might finally get off Beal's money that way, but I don't know. I mean, obviously Russ wouldn't get protected. That would solve all the Lakers' problems.
Is that higher than D'Angelo Russell right now, though?
I mean, D'Angelo's a better player right now.
Right now, yeah. So
for sure.
But that's who you were going to say, though?
I was going to say Bradley.
I just don't think that they...
The Wizards aren't ready to rebuild.
If that's how it ended, if it ended with not a trade, not him signing somewhere else, but the Wizards not protecting him and him going to Vegas or Seattle, that is the epitome of... out with a whimper, not with a bang.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah.
I would mauled over that. I would be really pissed off.
Well, let's do it really quick. Who do you think Troy would protect if he could only protect three players and everybody else, one player can get picked from this pool of, what would it be, 12?
The three that he would protect would be Cade, Sadiq, Duren.
I agree 100%. I think it would be those three.
Ladies and gentlemen,
That's why we do this show. Yeah, I agree. It would be those three, no question. Bun and A-N-D, B-U-N-A-N-D, Cardigan, I'm not going to spell it out, at gmail.com is where you can send questions for us or notes or anything you want, and we'll read it every show. Lastly, to put last week to bed, everyone's wondering about the Twitter account. It did not get blocked. It did not get banished. I deleted it. It was... To me, first of all the support for you on there was great. There was nothing really bad. I deleted it because we don't really need it. It's unnecessary more. We weren't like getting a million retweets on there. Most people would still just retweet my retweet of it. We have an email now for people to send questions. And it was just a little unnecessary as an avenue as we try to move forward. I deleted it. Nobody got us suspended or blocked or any of that. I just felt no need for it. And I just feel like it's important to keep going forward. We have the email. You can send anything there. I will tweet out the pods every week we do them. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. And for everybody who sent us in some stuff after what, Wednesday's episode, I have read everything that you guys have said. By the end of the week, I should be able to get to responding to most of those. So, already, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. Even if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
We are so that.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.